sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi everyone, this is Lori Handlers and this is Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product which really does enhance women's sense of sexuality. And you'll hear about that a little bit later in the show. Right now I want to talk to you about how traveling to foreign lands could possibly expand your sex and happiness. Maybe you never thought about travel like this, but when you think about it, travel is an adventure, and any kind of adventure increases your sense of excitement, your sense of spirit, your sense of happiness, in the sense that you've been challenged by something, in the sense that you've made it through, you've explored maybe on your own or with a group, what have you, and how you maybe haven't thought that it would intensify your sexuality or your happiness, but it might. And my guest today is somebody who actually is going to talk to us about how traveling to Bali could increase your sex and happiness. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Lisa Rizzoli, and she's a Tantra yoga educator. She's the founder of Tantra Sacred Loving and Embark Upon a Sexual Journey. So two things. She leads monthly puja ceremonies. She facilitates workshops, offers private sessions in exploring sacred sexuality and spiritual principles and how you embody these principles through the modality of movement. She also organizes adventures to sacred lands. She continues to follow her path of Tantra study and spiritual education throughout the world. So, Lisa, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
Great to have you here, Lisa, especially because we do know each other and we've traveled to sacred lands together.
We have.
So I haven't traveled to Bali with you, but I want to. And for me, Bali signifies something, like maybe in the movie Wild Orchid that I saw that had Mickey Rourke in it. Anyway, it's edgy. It feels exotic, erotic. So I want to hear from you. You go to Bali a lot. Why Bali, and how does it enhance your teaching, your sexuality, everything like that? Where to start?
Oh, my gosh. So Bali is just an amazing, magical land. There's so much spirituality with the culture. They are in constant ceremony and really, really honoring their gods and goddesses and being just in that space of really, really connecting with their spirit and connecting with everything that they see and everything that there is. So every day they're doing ceremony and this type of thing. And Bali just has these lush rice fields. They're green and just gorgeous. The whole feel of Bali brings this overwhelming sense of really joy and happiness to me. And that's why I continue to choose to go to Bali.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Let's go back to ceremony a little bit because some people listening might not know what you're talking about. So if you were witnessing a ceremony in Bali, like what would that be necessarily?
Yeah, so daily, every day they get the people do their prayers and meditations and they bring in the incense and the flowers and the water and they decorate all the statues that are in their own homes, but also in their businesses and whatever is really relevant to them. That's like the daily practice, and that happens two or three times during the day. And then there's also these ceremonies that go on. Bali has so many ceremonies that I can't even keep track of all of them because they're just immense. So you can see these processions going down the street and hundreds of people or maybe 20 people, and they're all dressed in their temple wear to go to the temple to make ceremony. So they go there and they pray and they have their offerings and they do the flowers and they do some water and then they put the rice on their forehead and they're just really, really connected with their spirit in that moment.
So for me, I can get a feeling from it also because I've been in ceremony and in India in ceremony, I could feel it from you and I could feel the excitement of it. How would it differ, like, if somebody in this country grew up Catholic, let's say, mm-hmm. and there was a ceremony, how would it differ from something that was a sacred ritual, let's say, in Catholicism or something that people might be more closely familiar with? How could you, if you could, I mean, I don't even know if it's possible to distinguish, but if you could.
Well, actually, I am Catholic, born and raised Catholic. And so there is a lot of similarity, and maybe that's part of what, you know, really calls to me. But there's the bells, and the priests are up there, the holy men, they're not priests, they're holy men that are up there saying the prayers and ringing the bells. And there is a similarity to Catholicism and what's going on in the Catholic religion. The difference, I think, is that all the people are so connected, and they just come in this group together, and you can feel their energy. Just their energy is so intense, and they're really dedicated to what they're praying to and the gods, and they know, and it's very much the same as a lot of other rituals in different religions because, mm-hmm. you know, like we have our prayers and we say the prayers and we all know what we're doing, and it's the same thing. They're all doing the same procession. They're all doing the same actions with the flowers and how they pray with the flower, holding it up, and then they take the water and the water splashed on their heads from the holy man, and then also in their hands, and they drink it as purification. So we also see that in Catholicism with the holy water and how we put it on our bodies to make the sign of a cross. It's very similar in that it's this purification process of this water. And then you have the incense burning, which also reminds me of Catholicism. And Bali has a distinct smell, too. You know, very incense, a lot of incense around the space.
So, yeah, I didn't mean to have you go off on that tangent so much, but I felt like what you were describing, I thought, well, I wasn't raised Catholic, but it was my imagination of what might be. And yet it sounds much more exotic and romantic when you're describing it as ritual and ceremony in Bali than it does if I were to go around the corner to the church.
Right. You know? And there's a lot of dancing going on. That's what I really like. And their temple wear, everybody wears the sarong for the women and the men as well. And then a kabbala for the women, which is a shirt, like a lacy type of shirt that the women wear. And the men wear a specific kind of shirt, and then they have to have a headpiece on as well. So there's this unity that happens with it. And it is, there's something magical and mystical about it, because just the way the people are with one another and how they interact and really coming together in community. And in these amazing temples, like the Mother Temple, for example, is just incredible, you know, all this structure, and just on and on and on it goes, and then it overlooks the ocean, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful space. So again, it's that exotic, magical feel to it, and the way that the people are interacting with one another and with us.
So yeah, that's the part that I'm hearing that's really distinct. There's like a connection, which is, I guess, at the baseline of Tantra is connection. There's a connection that might be lost in the Western world. Like people come and go and they don't necessarily connect with each other or even have time for each other.
Yeah, and I often feel that when I go to, you know, if I go back to church sometimes, I don't feel that deep connection and I don't feel like I'm part of the community. that the community comes together, they go to church, they go to mass, and then everybody goes their separate ways and off they go. And there's not a lot of interaction with one another and connection. Mm-hmm. And that's what I long for. I love the connection with the people. And I went to several ceremonies, and the people dressed in their temple wear, and the people just invite me in and just really, really welcoming me. And I think that we lose that in the Western world. I don't think we're welcomed into those communities as readily and easily as it is in
places. Mm. Yeah, sometimes it becomes about money, but we won't go there.
Okay.
So it sounds very luscious, and it sounds exotic and trancy, almost mm-hmm. trancy, which has an appeal. It has a sexy appeal in terms of what you're describing. I think we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I want to ask you, I kind of want to probe, how does it feel to you? What has it done for your life in terms of your own sexuality and your own happiness? And what might it do for other people's lives if they visit an exotic place like Bali? If we were to take a poll of people and ask them, you know, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Many, many people would say Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why, but I'm getting clearer right now as I'm talking to you. So when we come back, we'll explore how it's influenced and changed your life and in what ways and how what other people might be able to expect.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. This is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm talking today with Lisa Rizzoli, who takes people to Bali. She's been many times, and she now is taking people on tour to Bali. And Lisa is a Tantra yoga educator and founder of Tantra Sacred Loving. So when we come back, we're going to find out how this all connects, these rituals that she's been talking about and this environment. So stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness show. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm talking today to Lisa Rizzoli, who is my friend and also has traveled with me to India, and she takes people to Bali, and one of these days I'm going with her. And why I say that, I don't know. I'm discovering that on the show. Lisa is sexy, and she is happy, and I know that this is one of the places that she thinks is sublime. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about how your first trip to Bali or your second trip to Bali changed your life and changed it in a sexy and happier way.
Oh, well, the first time when I went to Bali, I really connected with the land and really felt that energy of what was happening there. And then I connected further with the people and the culture. And I just delved into the whole thing experience, and then I went back again, and then I took a group back, because I feel that in Bali there's so much spirituality going on and so many amazing things that are happening on a consistent basis with the rituals and the ceremonies and all the really yummy stuff that's going. And so When I explore Bali, I really do it in a very adventurous way. So I like to go and hike the volcano and be up on top of the volcano and experience the sunrise at volcano on the top of the mountain. And then there's temples on the top of the mountain. So we come down on this side and there's a big cave and there's a temple inside and where people are doing ritual again and ceremony in the temple. So really get connecting with everything that is there and everything that, you know, the people are seeing. And they have such a rich spirituality that's really what attracted me and really keeps me coming back and bringing people so I can share this experience with them.
Yeah, you sound very connected as you speak about it, like connected in a way that you don't experience daily. Although I know you do practice and ritual at home. You're in the Reno, Nevada area, and I know you do these things. There's an excitement in your voice that sounds different about connecting the dots in Bali.
Yes, and really getting more and more in tune with the culture and the people, I think, and learning more about their traditions and what is going on in their temples and what's happening and why are we praying here and what does this temple mean, and just getting more and more information about how devoted they are to their religious practice, to their spiritual practice. And how they can be more connected, because as I learn more about that, I feel it more, and I really connect more myself.
Now, I can totally relate to that. Now, how are they as a people? I mean, are they sexy? I mean, we've been to places where men and women aren't allowed to touch, like in India. So, how are the people able to touch there? Is it okay to touch?
It's actually not. It's the same sort of thing as India. There, you know, it's a Hindu culture, so we don't see men and women interacting in that way. But there's a feeling for it. You know, I see men looking at their wives, and there's a feeling of, yeah, there's this deep love and appreciation for their spouses or for their partners, and you feel it more than I've seen in any other place in the world that I've been. So even though their culture says, you know, we can't interact in this way and we have to do things these ways and we have this modesty, there's still this really, the energy, the sexual energy that's there is really big.
In India, you don't necessarily see husbands feeling that exact way about their wives. Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of catch as catch can. And how do they feel about you when you say that you teach Tantra or you're bringing people on a tour and part of it has to do with sensuality? How are you greeted?
I worked with a lady, Rati, and she actually is a Balinese princess. Her grandfather was the last king of Bali. And so when I came in and met her, instantly her and I connected, and she was calling me her sister and bringing me to temples of tantric nature, and we really talked about it. But Tantra, and there is a Balinese Tantra, but it's hard to get to. You know, they keep it very undercover and keep it very sacred, so they don't really share too much information about it. But I was able to, with Rati, get a little bit more connected with that and how she feels about Tantra and the whole expression of Tantra. So for her, it was very, it's a very sacred and very powerful modality of spirituality that she keeps very close to her. So she wasn't willing to share that information with the group, but she did share some with me. And it was very intense, some of the stuff that she was sharing. And then also, you know, with the people themselves, I didn't really connect in that way. We kept it pretty low-key. I mean, we had a lot of things going on, and we were doing a lot of adventures, so we didn't, you know, talk too much about the sensuality part, but we were doing practices at the hotels, you know, because every day I was doing a yoga practice with them, but also teaching mantras and yantras and different kinds of yoga positions to open up the different chakras, whatever we were working on that day. And I did see the Balinese that were working there would come around and watch us. But the exotic thing is, in the hotel, there was all these wooden statues with these huge, you know, lingams sticking out. And so the sexuality is very much there.
Well, we have to say what lingam is because not everybody knows what that is.
They're penises. And, yeah. But they're huge. They're these, you know, so it's this wooden statue with this enormous penis sticking out, and they're in front of every single bungalow. They're just all there. So the sexuality is very much an important part of the culture, and we see it around as we go to temples, as we go to different spaces, and it's there.
Hmm. That's so interesting to me. It's such a conundrum, you know, of how it is that it's all there and then how it gets repressed. But it's, to me, that's mind-boggling.
Right.
Really, really mind-boggling.
And, you know, Bali, I mean, if you go back, I don't know how long ago, what, 50 years ago or 60 years ago, the Balinese people were much, I mean, there's all the pictures in National Geographic of these Balinese women with their breasts clearly open and everything. And then all of a sudden something's happened, and now we have this modesty and covering up. And I'm not sure if that was other cultures coming in or there was an exploitation or something of that nature, but I get the feeling like there was a much more freedom in everything, because some of their dances are very sexual in nature, the man and the woman coming together and meeting, and when they're doing the dance, I mean, it's really sexual, and boy, got my juices flowing. And yet, you know, on this other end of it, those dances, there's certain dances that all the Westerners go to and all the tourists go to, and then there's these other dances that the people go to. And those are the ones that are really, really sexual. So I think their culture itself was very open and very, you know, it wasn't repressed. And then something has happened and the repression came in.
Mm. Wow. Well, I'm going to keep my two cents out of that. I feel bad about that. I feel
you
like
too.
I'm glad that you're going there and that you're taking people there and you're teaching along the way. You know, even when you just say having an adventure, I mean, having an adventure is part of sexuality. Like being adventurous is part of getting all the juices flowing. And what I said earlier in the show, getting challenged, feeling like you made it through something, feeling empowered, all of those things add to how sexy and happy you can be. And so I hear that in your expression and how you're speaking about it. And yet there's this, oh, oh, that's too bad, you know.
Yeah,
it's so funny how the West has become more open about these things, and the East, where things used to be just more simple and straightforward, has got all these new contortions, these new wrinkles in the way it is.
Yeah, so that's why sometimes we went into the villages that weren't, you know, they're not in the touristy areas. And in the villages, you still see the women that are bare-breasted. They're walking around without anything on because that is their culture and that is where they're coming from. But then you bring them into the more population and the tourist areas, and then all of a sudden they become this modest thing.
Yeah, modest and shy. Well, they have to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
So how can people find you? How can they get in touch with you if they're interested to take one of these tours, and how long do they last and like that?
Yeah, so this last tour, we did an 8-day tour with an extension, a 4-day extension to Komodo Islands to see the dragons and do a lot of snorkeling, which was amazing too. But you can reach me on my website at www.tantrasacredloving.com, or you can call me anytime at 775-741-4090.
Okay, say that one again.
It's 775-741-4090.
And so they can get details of what you're next planning and where you might go to and possibly going to Bali again.
Yeah, there's another Bali trip going to be coming in March of 2014. And I'm in the process right now of making that itinerary with my people there.
All right, that's great to know. Really great to know. And if you've heard this and Bali has been one of your destinations in your heart's desire for a really long time, this might be a time to go. Lisa will be teaching on the trip, and also you'll get to see this exotic, lush area that she talked about the oceans and the fields, the rice fields and different things. It piques my curiosity, and, you know, it just feels like, oh, Bali, I'd like to go there and make love.
Mm-hmm. On the beach.
Is that possible?
Well, everything is possible.
Yeah, well, that sounds really good to me.
Yeah, and there's some places that, you know, some of the resort areas that I'm visiting are exclusive resorts, and so we can go skinny dipping in the pool and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. Really sounds wonderful. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being my guest today and bringing us a taste of Bali and how it's opened you up, and for taking people there and opening up the Balinese as well to you and to people there who have an appreciation for their sense of spirit.
Thank you, Lori. I so appreciate you.
You're welcome. Anytime. Well, everyone, stay tuned. I have another guest coming up, and
we're going to be talking about couples.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I have another amazing guest for you right now. We're going to be talking about couples, and I don't think we've really done any shows particularly just dedicated to couples, like why couples are a particular niche and what they need and that kind of thing. And my guest today feels that couples need special attention, because often what happens for couples, I'm sure you know this because I can't imagine that you'd be listening to the show if you were never in a relationship. Whether you're in one now or not, I don't care, but you probably know what it's like to get in a relationship, be super in love, super in lust with your partner, and then find out after not too long of a time that you're either taking each other for granted, or the sex got stale or boring, or you had a kid or two and you can't seem to get the spark back. Many, many things happen to couples. And that's exactly what my guest today is going to be addressing with us. So I want to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Erica Gregg. She's in partnership with her husband in a company called Get Lusty for Couples. And they have together figured out that couples, the realm of couples, is a very, very special and specific niche. And there are important things that need to be addressed to couples individually that many people don't focus on. So they developed an entire business around it. I guess it's coaching for couples. It could be other things for couples. We're going to find out from her exactly what they discovered, why they discovered it, and what you can learn from them. So, Erica, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Lori, thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you on. And it's interesting because a lot of people have come on my show in the past have been into things like polyamory or open relating, or many people are singles, advising singles what to do in their life. Now we're coming around full circle, and here we are, and I'm talking to you about couples and why they're special. So, so what happened that had you focus on coupledom?
You know, it's surprising because I was single for some time. I mean, I'm in my 20s, so I'm still figuring out couplehood, and I'm figuring out marriage, and I'm figuring out love, and I'm learning new things every day. But I was confused, and I feel like I'm not the only person confused and in love. I had fallen in love. My husband and I had fallen in love immediately. We were so, so in love. Our first experience, our first date was 72 hours. So,
wait a second. Your first date was 72 hours?
Yes. Yes.
That's like more than 2 days.
Yes. Yeah. It was long and it was wonderful. And then I left. I left to London, and I came back. We moved in several months later, and we married several months after that. So it was completely in love, completely in love. So we knew that each other was like our one. We were just head over heels, right? And so around 3 years later, we had kind of been in the throes of what is long-term love. And we kind of said, you know, we were butting heads. We just weren't feeling that love. We were kind of arguing very frequently. And so it wasn't working. Like, there was something that just was not working. We weren't sexually interested. We really lacked that passion. And so we really sought for different places that we can kind of rekindle that passion, rekindle the love, and stop fighting, you know, have an amazing sexual relationship, because relationships are about sex, they're about love, and both of those things are really important. We couldn't really find many places to have a better relationship. You know, there are places out there that will help you cheat. There are places out there that will, tell you how to have sex. Or there's like Cosmo that'll tell you really bad ideas and into...
Yeah, how to manipulate your partner 101, 102, 103, 105.
Or how to manipulate yourself. Or why your body sucks. Or why you should watch kind of porn that isn't something that really works for you. What we kind of wanted to do, and what I kind of wanted to do, is really be there for couples and the woman and the man. Now, our couples is not just for straight couples. We're for gay couples, too, which is why we sell Get Lusty for Couples versus Get Lusty for Married People. We want to help both straight and gay folks, you know, that are in long-term relationships.
I want to just roll them back for a second. At the three-year point, you're saying that at the three-year point,
3 years.
That's where things started to fall apart a little bit. Like, I won't call it fall apart, but you started to become distant from each other. And it wasn't working anymore. Now, I want to just go back to the 72-hour date, because I promise you we'll talk about what you two are doing now and what you're providing for couples. My mouth is still on the floor about 72-hour date. So I need to know, like, were you introduced or did you meet online? Like, how did you meet?
We actually met at a networking event.
Okay, met at a networking event, and then one of you asked the other one out, and then were you prepared to go on a date that was like a weekend?
No.
It just happened. Like, you couldn't get enough of each other. One thing led to another, to another, to another, to another, to another.
It was magical.
And did you actually have sex? Do you mind saying?
Yeah, we had sex. Yeah, we had sex a few times. We had sex a lot.
I just wanted to know, like, you know, sometimes people come on the show and they don't actually give the details, and it's such a ripoff. So I had to know, you know.
No, we had sex, right? We had sex multiple times. But to me, it wasn't about that. It was about... Well, I mean, sex is part of it. Just like any relationship, sex is an essential component of it. But to me, I felt deep love. I felt a deep connection with him. And sex was the manifestation of that. Just as in any relationship, right? You have, and this will lead into our five pillars, but it's health, it's communication, it's these adventures and the dates. And one of the key things there is that we were doing new things and doing something interesting together, and that we were more or less meant to be. I mean, it was really simple. We fit together extremely well, and we have very complementing personalities.
Now, did anybody try to tell you, did your parents or anybody try to tell you, slow it down, wait a minute, like, what are you doing?
Oh, everybody tried to tell me, don't move in, don't do it, you're not ready, you're not married, why are you going to move in? I did just ignore them, and I said, you know, I love this man, and I, you know, want to be with him for the rest of my life.
Got it. Okay, that's all. I had to, those are, I have to ask you the questions that are coming up for somebody listening. Like,
right.
Really? 72 hours? Are you kidding?
Really?
So now, I mean, it makes their life and your life more credible. Like, all the normal things happened after a very abnormal situation. A first date of 72 hours isn't normal. So then all the normal things arose, all the people who were trying to warn you and the naysayers, and you proceeded anyway. So it sounds like you developed Get Lusty for couples to not only heal yourselves, but to also help other people in the world who you know must be having some of the same issues.
Right.
And the name, Get Lusty, where did that come from?
You know, it's surprising because I was searching the internet and just hypothesizing. And when entering the idea of it, we really want folks to have the best marriage. Well, the best marriage doesn't have a connotation that's friendly for couples of all kinds. And so we really wanted to be more associated with couples particularly versus married couples, because not all couples can get married, right? So
right.
I really thought that couples element was super important for us. And then Get Lusty, I don't know. I think it just popped up, and it was just one of the things that I was immediately attracted to that phrase, because it embodied what the end product of what we're looking for people to move towards versus the kind of, you know, get loving or get passionate. Get Lusty is something that people can empathize with, and they can kind of identify that.
I love the name.
Is a sexual aspect of the relationship.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because you're based in Chicago, and when Chicago was named the Windy City, and when I hear Get Lusty, it's like how I hear it is Get Lusty and Windy.
You know? Right.
So that's all. That's just my idiosyncrasy, but that's how I heard it when I first heard it. All right. Well, of course, I want to know some basic things that you discovered, things that you share with people, and, of course, how you go about your practice. And we're going to take a little break here for a moment, and when we come back, those are the kinds of things I'm going to ask you about, because I want everyone to know what they would get from contacting you, what they can even take away now. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Erica Grigg, who has this really interesting story about meeting her husband and about what happens when they started kind of losing the flame. They invented Get Lusty for couples. What a unique solution. So we'll be right back and we'll find out what the solution entails. Please stay tuned.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads us away back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and I'm interviewing Erica Gregg, who started a company with her husband called Get Lusty for couples. And by the way, Erica, what is the website so people can go soon to the website?
It's GetLusty, GetLusty.com.
Okay, great. So people, if you're listening even right now and you're at your computer and you want to take a look at what they offer, you can do that. But I encourage you to listen for a little bit. So Erica, you discovered some things in the process of looking around the internet and trying to find healing or something for you and your husband. You came upon things yourself. And what is it that you call this, and what are these?
Yeah, so we had read quite a lot of different books. We read, you know, we watched different videos. We did a lot of research and did a lot of our own research on what really brought us together and really what brought other couples together too. And we came up with these five pillars of an amazing sexual relationship, which is what we call them. And it's what we based our site off of. And that is, number one is health. That's including sexual health, you know, physical health, communication, sexual technique, adventures, and then dates. So those are...
What was the last one?
Dates.
dates.
Yeah. So time together, you know, enjoying each other together. Adventure is doing new things together. So going to somewhere where you've never been, or flying out of a plane, or even walking down a street that you've never been. It releases endorphins that make your experience new and fresh. And that's what couples in long-term monogamous relationships, that's what they need.
Okay. I'm with you so far. There's no thing I could say about that that doesn't ring true for me. Got to have adventure. If you don't have adventure, boring.
Right.
Yep. Okay. And then communication is the next thing you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll go over it again. So communication is number one. You have to be able to communicate. If you can't communicate your wants and desires, communication, there's several things in communication. It's that first you need to internalize and know what you want, and then after that you need to be able to communicate that, right? There's health, sexual health, physical health, mental health. If you're not healthy, you're not going to have a good life overall. You need to be in top physical health, and that's physical health for you. So if you have a persistent problem in terms of your health, you're dealing with that, right? But the overall aspects of mental health is especially important. So working to bring your health into, you know, a better place, that's really important. The dates, again, that's time together. Adventures, that's dates where, you know, you're doing something different, you're trying something different, and then the sexual technique. If you don't know how to give a good blowjob, if you don't know how to do cunnilingus in a way that your partner is suited to, by golly, if they're not having orgasms, if you're not bringing them to orgasm, if they can't communicate that, there's just those five pillars are essential for an amazing sexual relationship, both in the sex side, the relationship side, and then the love side.
Okay, and there's plenty of places where people could learn that. It's just a question of being able to speak about it. For many people, I think the idea of being able to say to their partner, you know, the sex isn't really doing it for me, that would be terrifying for some people.
Right.
There are people who would stay in a relationship and not tell for the longest time when something like that was happening for fear.
Completely.
So
completely. And you don't know how to tell your spouse. You don't know how to even, you don't even know what to do. What would be the next step there? Get Lusty is a platform where you could just say, hey, you know, I want us to have an amazing relationship. It does not have to be about you're having bad sex. You just go and you can learn, both explore, and not have a judgment call on your penis isn't big enough, or you're not giving me orgasms. That's the kind of end conversation that you want to have, but those conversations are really difficult to have. I definitely agree. And the kind of platform that we're building is enables those conversations.
Okay, good. I got it. That's great. And then, what was there another one? Did we do five?
Yeah, we did five. So we kind of intermingled them, but basically it's communication, number one, health, number two, sexual technique, number three, dates is number four, and adventures is number five.
Okay, great. Now I have some questions.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I have some questions for you about different things. Like, for example, well, this is just a feeling about it. I have a value about truth-telling. And I wonder your feelings about that. Like, if someone comes to you and says, you know, I did something and I could never tell my husband or my wife about that, what would you coach them?
Oh, so here's the thing. So Get Lusty has hundreds of sexperts in our network.
Okay.
I would say this is one for for our sexperts. One of our awesome sex therapists, Moshini Ghosh, who runs Los Angeles Sex Therapy, she's one of our awesome folks who answers specific questions. We have places where you can email us specific questions and we can put them on the site with obviously anonymous, you know, signatures like signed X. I would say that would be a question for those folks. That is a really, really tough question. That's the hardest. I think cheating is, cheating is it deals with a systemic problem in your relationship. So I would say, from my perspective, just personally, you all need to talk about other things. I wouldn't specifically address, I think I would address the cheating aspect last. I mean, I think cheating is really, it's almost like I have a cold. What do I do? Well, you know, you're going to take a tablet for the cough. You're going to take a tablet for whatever. But it's like, it's almost like a symptom of a larger problem. Cheating is a symptom of a larger problem in your relationship. And, you know, you might want to be polyamorous and your partner doesn't. So you both have to work that out. You have to work out the underlining issues. That's just me personally. I would say that.
Well, thanks. I mean, thanks for taking a stab at that. Now, inside of answering that question, you actually answered to me how your service works. So it sounds like you have a service that's referrals where you have, is it bloggers or experts or sexperts? Like, how exactly does it work? Because that's what you were kind of addressing. And thank you for stabbing at the cheating question and talking about a greater systemic problem.
No, you know what? A lot of folks think that GetLusty, or they have a kind of misunderstanding of what GetLusty is, and they think GetLusty for couples helps couples connect with other couples, or helps couples swing, or helps couples cheat. But GetLusty for couples helps couples in monogamous relationships have amazing sexual relationships within their relationship, right? So we have 1,000+ articles from hundreds of sexperts on every area of sex, sexuality, intimacy, love, communication, health, in quite a few of our five pillars, minus the dates and experiences. We, you know, BDSM, if you're curious about BDSM, if you're curious about fetishes, if you're curious about it, basically anything sexual technique related, we have articles around it. We do have hundreds of sexperts. Those are sex therapists. Those are sex educators, sex professionals, as well as folks that are just passionate, you know, about their own relationships, folks who've been married for 2+ decades. So we definitely reach out to our community and let some of the couples in our network show their experiences as well. So on top of that, we have 70+ featured merchants where, you know, the couples on our site can go and get discounts from anywhere between 5% and 30% every single time they purchase. These are women-owned companies, ethically focused companies, eco-latex companies, for example, an eco-latex company, you know, environmentally friendly latex. Where else are you going to find access to that and access to that discount? I don't know, but they're, this is like
apparatus or toys or other kinds of things to expand a couple's repertoire.
Right. We have a wide variety of featured merchants. One of those is like Babeland, for example, that just, you know, they produce awesome stuff. Mitten Kitten, they're in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're all green sex toys. We have another green sex toy retailer on the site. So we definitely have a focus on environmental, you know, featured businesses and women owned. So we're really excited about all the discounts as well that folks can get just for being a GetLusty member.
Well, I have another question for you that I appreciate you explaining all of that. And we're kind of coming down to the end of our segment here. This question is just behind everything, which is, as you established this business, how did it affect the relationship of you and your husband? Like, did it pop open like a volcano again?
It's been one of the most difficult things. I feel like I've kind of reached out to different locations. Brad Feld, who is an awesome blogger online, talked about being in a startup and being in long-term love. And I feel like we're definitely reaching new points of like a new kind of thing. We have worked together before, but I think being in a startup is so much more stress. And I feel like we have learned so much about each other. We have reached new highs. And I think on the way to moving GetLusty for couples forward, we are really, really in the process of learning more about each other and making time together a serious priority, just as other busy couples. I mean, we really have several hours per week tops to, you know, to spend quality time together. And it's like every moment counts, and we are really, really making the most of now. And that's what I'm learning.
That was beautifully said. And I really wish you the best. I wish you the best in terms of each other and also in your successful business, like helping other people find the love and find the lust in their relationships. It's a great mission to be on. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure to have you. And everyone out there, please tune in next time when I'll be speaking to somebody about
being over 70 and being sexier and happier than ever.
So please tune in then. This is Lori Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-